Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time by the grace of God. We thank the Lord for 18 years now. We have been bringing these broadcasts to you, and we praise the Lord for this day. We thank the Lord for the prayers, for the provision, for this radio station, and most of all for you, the listener. Those of you who've been with us for many years, we appreciate you. And if you're new to this broadcast today, we thank you. We welcome you. Today, we're going to be talking about the Israel question, the invasion of Israel by the Palestinian Hamas group, the terrorist group. And so we're going to take a look at that, the covenant that God has with his children and with that piece of land. And so this is going to be an important message. And so we'll start here in Genesis chapter 12. Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. We're going to jump into the message here in just a minute. First, I want to give you a brief update what's going on here in Africa. And we're being blessed with very nice weather, having some showers every couple of days now. And the maize, beans, other crops that we're growing are looking very good. The children, most of them just got home this week from school, and so they'll be coming to our place, and they'll be there for 2 months, and then some of them go back to boarding school right after January 1st, and others are with us all the time. They walk back and forth to school, and so we have about 25 children in the house at this time, and they'll be with us looking for something to do here for the next couple of months. And so we thank the Lord for all the children and the opportunity we have to teach them about Jesus, to be with them, encourage them, and strengthen their walk. The church is going well. We're in the process of opening up a dining hall near the church. We have a poshel mill, that is a grinding mill for milling grain, and we have a Duka, a small convenience store. Now we're opening up a dining hall right next to the Duka, and we're going to be serving meals to the general public. People will be able to stop in and get meals ordered to go or meals they can eat on site. And we eventually hope to have a cyber cafe there also. All of this is part of our marketplace strategy to evangelize people in the village. There's nothing like this out there in Makunda. We can evangelize these people when they stop in to get something to eat, or when they stop in to buy something at the Duka. And so this is our strategy to transform this village. It's a Muslim village there in Makunda. Most of the people, probably 60 to 70% of the people, are Muslim. And so we can transform them by having a marketplace strategy, a marketplace evangelism, and be able to witness to them, take the word of God to them, pray with them. And so this is our strategy all there at the compound with the church. Well, today we're going to be talking about a very big subject, and you can't do it justice really in one session, but we're going to be talking about the peace of Jerusalem and the covenant that God has with the people of Israel and with that land that the children of Israel live on. And this is a very big subject, as you know, and it has come to the forefront. It's been thrust to the forefront because of the invasion of the Palestinian terrorist group Hamas that went into Israel 2 weeks ago. And so it's been a big subject of debate. It's drawn the United States into the possibility of a very big conflict because Iran is behind the Hamas terrorists. We know Iran has the capability to finance many of these terrorist groups, and that's what they're doing. They're stirring up trouble and they're stirring up hatred, and they renounce Israel and continually profess that it is their desire to see Israel wiped off the face of the earth. And so this brings us into conflict because Israel is an ally of the United States. It was because of the U.S. primarily that Israel became a nation in 1948. President Harry S. Truman was the most single influential person on the face of the earth that God used to usher in the nation of Israel. And President Harry S. Truman, you know, was from Missouri, right next to the border of Kansas. His farm is down there in Grandview, Missouri. And so God used this man, Harry S. Truman, to usher in the nation of Israel. That was in 1948. And the Arab nations that adjoined Israel immediately attacked Israel. That started in 1948. There was another war in 1967, another one in 1973, the Yom Kippur War in 1973. And now here we are 50 years later, the Jubilee, and this was the greatest attack on the nation of Israel and on the Jewish people probably since the Holocaust, certainly since 1973, but probably since the Holocaust in World War II. And so we have an obligation, a duty, a moral obligation, and also a spiritual obligation as Christians to come to the aid of our brothers and sisters there in Israel. And so this is the foundation of what I'm going to be talking about today, is who owns that land, how did they get that land, because this is always the contention of the Palestinians, is that the Israel people, the Jewish people, have no right to that land, they have no right to be there, that it is Palestinian land. And so we're going to look at what the Bible says about this. And I'm going to preface this whole message by saying, if you don't believe God's word, if you don't believe in God, Jehovah God, I don't know why you would be listening to this radio broadcast if you don't, but praise God if you are, because this whole message hinges on the fact that Jehovah God exists. He is a God of creation. He has a son. His son is Jesus Christ, Yeshua, our Messiah, and there is also the Holy Spirit, the part of the Trinity. So you have God the Father, you have God the Son, and you have the Holy Spirit, the Rosh HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. And so that is the Trinity that we worship. That is the Trinity that makes up the foundation for the Christian faith. And so if you don't believe that, then these other things that I'm going to be saying probably aren't going to have a lot of impact on you, and you'll just have to tune in next week for a different message, because today I'm going to be preaching on the foundations of the Christian faith and the right to Israel to stay on that land, to possess that land. And so that is what today's message is all about. Well, in Genesis chapter 12, let's start there, because this is where the Lord brings Abraham, or Abram as he's called, before he was given the name Abraham. This is what the Lord has to say to Abram. Chapter 12, verse 1, the book of Genesis, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Well, God was speaking to Abram. Abram was in a far country over in Haran, which was over in what we would say Iraq nowadays. And so this was the home of Abram, and God says to Abram, go out of your country, and I'm going to show you a land that will be your home. I'm going to show you a land where you will become a great nation, and through you, all of the families of the earth shall be blessed. And there he was referring to through his seed, through Abram's seed, Jesus Christ would be coming. And through Jesus Christ, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Well, we sit here in Kenya, and I can tell you for a fact that without Jesus Christ and the Word of God here in Kenya, this country would be an absolute chaotic shambles. It would be an absolute chaotic mess. And the same is true for the countries of the earth where they have Christians. And God says in verse 3 to Abram, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So the reason that we're talking about this today is because when you pray for Israel, when you keep Israel in your prayers, when you bless Israel with your words, when you speak words of blessings over Israel, and you speak blessings over the Jewish people, over God's chosen people, when you speak blessings over Jesus Christ, you may not be saved today. I don't know every person that's listening. I don't know what your situation is. You may not be saved. But when you speak blessings over God's people, when you speak blessing over God's word, and you speak blessing over that nation, and you speak blessings over Jesus Christ, God's son, even though you may not understand his death on the cross for you, you're going to be blessed. You're going to be blessed. Whatever it is that motivates you to do that, you're going to be blessed because Abram received that blessing. God says, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And so those that come against the kingdom of God, those that come against Jesus Christ, those that come against his people, you're going to receive the curses. If nothing else, you can read Deuteronomy 28, the chapter of the blessings and the curses, and understand that when you do God's will, when you stand with God and you speak blessings for God and to God, he will bless you. But when you come against God and you curse God in your life and you curse his people and his land and his plan, his kingdom plan, then God says, I'm going to curse you. And we'll get into salvation issues maybe on another day. I don't know. We'll have some time here today a little bit to talk about that. But if you don't believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you don't believe he hung on the cross for you, at least believe in the blessings and the curses of knowing God and speaking favor over God, speak blessings towards God, and you will then receive the blessings that God has for you. Well, in Genesis chapter 12, verse 7, it says, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to your descendants. Well, let me go back just a little bit. I'm jumping just a little bit ahead. Abram departed, verse 4, as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Lot was his nephew, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Well, let me just say briefly about Abram's faith. Abram stepped out in faith, and we many times, many scriptures in the Bible and many stories in the Bible look back to Abram's faith, and it's the faith that God knew was in this man. It's the faith that God knew he could build on this man and he would be obedient to God. And so that faith is what God is looking for when God gives you a word, when God gives you instruction, when God gives you a dream or a vision and says, go out of your home, go out of your land, go out of your place, and go to where I'm sending you. That is the faith of Abram. That's the faith of Noah when God told Noah to build the ark. That's the faith of Moses when God called Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. That's the faith of Jacob when God told Jacob to take his sons. This is the faith then that God requires of his children, and it pleases God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God, for those that come to him must know that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so when you show faith, when you have faith, when you show faith and express faith in your life, with faith without works is dead. James tells us, James 2:14, faith without works is dead. And so Abram stepped out in faith because he believed God. When God called him, he believed God, and he went to the land of Canaan where God had directed him. Well, now let's go to verse 7. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And Abram there built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And verse 8, and he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord, and he called upon the name of the Lord. And so that is the beginning. That is the beginning of the covenant that God has given to Abram, this land. He said, this land I'm going to give you. And he said, to your descendants, I will give this land. And so that is the very land that Israel is in possession of today. The children of God, the descendants of Abram, own this land. It has been given to them through covenant with God. It has been given to them. And so there is no question that that is the land that God has given to these people. Dialogue between God and Abram. And in verse 1 it says, after these things the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born of my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. And he brought him outside, and he said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And God said to him, so shall your descendants be. And Abram believed in the Lord, and God accounted it to him for righteousness. Well, that is an accounting term. God says, I'm going to account to you righteousness, the belief that you have, your faith you have, and your belief that you have, I'm going to credit it to you as righteousness. And then God said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of the Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it. And so there's another reference to the inheritance of this land by the children of Israel, by the descendants of Abram, who later became Abraham. And so this reference then is referenced many times through the book of Genesis. I would urge you to read about the first 32 chapters in Genesis. You'll see God over and over referencing this piece of land. This is the inheritance of the descendants of Abram. This is the inheritance of the children of Israel. And this piece of land then is undeniably the piece of land that God wanted Abram to have. And he showed it to him, and he said many times, lift up your eyes and look on this land, and it will be yours in the days ahead. And now we are here thousands of years later, 2023. People are still challenging Israel, fighting over this piece of land, but God said, this land is your land. Verse 18 in chapter 15. On that same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants I have given this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. Well, you know the river Euphrates is way north of now the nation of Israel. It's way north, and the river of Egypt is way south. Gaza is included in that territory, and so Gaza was given by the Lord as land for the children of Israel. And so this is the covenant that God has established with his children. In Genesis chapter 18, verse 17, also speaking to Abraham, now he's calling him Abraham, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing, since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. And then again in Genesis chapter 22, verse 17, after Abraham had offered up his son Isaac, because the Lord asked Abraham to offer up his son Isaac. This is a picture and a shadow of the offering up by God of his son Jesus Christ on the cross. And so this was an Old Testament picture and shadow of the death of our Lord and Savior. And in Genesis chapter 22, verse 17, God says to Abraham, "Blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and of the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies." And in verse 18, "In your seed," God says to Abraham, "in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice." Well, God is speaking prophetically there about his son, Jesus Christ. He said that, "I'm going to bless you, I'm going to multiply you, and your descendants are going to be as the stars of heaven and as the sand on the seashore, and your descendants will possess the gate of your enemies." Beloved, I don't care how many nations come against Israel, and in the end, there will be many. All the nations of the earth will come against Israel in the end. But I can tell you, Israel is going to stand, and the people that come against Israel are going to come against a stumbling stone. It will become a curse for them, and they will be cursed. They're not going to be blessed by trying to take out God's children in that nation. And even individually, when people come against you, if you are a born-again believer of Jesus Christ, when the devil comes against you, you will possess the gate of your enemy. The enemy will not succeed over you. You may be struggling with pornography. You may be struggling with drug addiction. You may be struggling with despair and discouragement. I tell you, when you speak the name of Jesus Christ over yourself and the blood of Jesus over you and the problems, the mountains that you have, the mountains will go into the sea and you will possess the gate of your enemies. And then in verse 18, God says, "In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice." Well, in that seed he was speaking about there is none other than Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. He was the seed of Abraham. You read through the Old Testament and God preserves that seed. That's what the flood of Noah was all about. That's what all the righteous acts of the saints in the Old Testament was all about, was preserving that seed of Jesus Christ. And then he dropped that seed. God dropped that seed through the Holy Spirit into the Virgin Mary in the book of Matthew and the gospel accounts of the virgin birth. God dropped that seed through the Holy Spirit into the Virgin Mary, and we had our Lord and Savior then come upon this earth as our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, some people say that Muslims and Jews and Christians all have the same God. Well, we don't all have the same God. Our God is Jehovah God. Jehovah God has a son, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And so our God has a Son in his infinite wisdom. Before the foundations of the world, God had a plan in mind to redeem fallen man back to him through his Son, Jesus Christ. And that's how we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. Allah has no son. The Quran chapter 17 verse 111 says, "Praise be to Allah who begets no son and has no partner in his dominion. He has no Holy Spirit. He has no son, nor needs any to protect him from humiliation." That doesn't sound like our God. Our God has a son. Jesus Christ went to the cross for you. Jesus Christ suffered for you. He shed his precious, perfect blood for you on the cross. And because of that, you can know him. All you have to do is confess your sins, repent of your sins, turn from your wicked ways. Say, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. I want to commit my life to you. And when you do that, beloved, when you cry out to him, those who endure to the end shall be saved. And all those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you do that today, salvation is yours to inherit. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We praise the Lord for that. And we thank you for listening today. We want to hear from you. We want you to sit down today and write us out a check. Let us know that you're listening. Make a donation to this ministry that we can continue to do the work that God has called us to do. And we'd love to hear from you. If you stay tuned to the end of this broadcast, you'll hear contact information coming up. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.